Everybody, welcome to another exciting episode of Dead Exposed. I'm your host, Scott Klein, and with me via Skype today, all the way from California, is Sahej. Sahej, did I say that right?
Yep, you said it right.
Awesome, Sahej. Okay, so Sahej, welcome to the show. Why don't you take a minute to introduce yourself, and then we'll kick things off.
Hey, so I'm Sahej Saini. I'm a program manager in the SQL Server Data Warehouse group, and I work on a technology called Polybase. And this will be showing up as a new feature in SQL Server 2016.
Yep, perfect. Thank you. So where in California are you located?
In Southern California. So it's a place between Irvine and San Diego called Aliso Viejo.
Aliso Viejo. Okay, cool. All right, so like you said, we are going to talk today about Polybase, a new feature in SQL Server 2016. So let me turn it over to you and kind of, you know, actually, why did they introduce Polybase into SQL Server and why is it needed?
Yep, definitely. So if you think about how data warehouse space is progressing, we see that there's an increasing volume of data from a lot of sources. If you think about sensor data, if you think about web logs, if you think about clickstream data. And all of this data is landing in more cost-effective storage systems like Hadoop. And also think about cloud solutions like Azure Storage.
Right.
So database administrators or system administrators are now not required to actually delete data. They want to store as much data that they can, and they want to gain insights of all of this data. So when we think about SQL Server in this regard, we want to expand the reach of SQL Server to these new data stores like Hadoop. So for that purpose, we're introducing this technology called Polybase that can allow you to query data residing in HDFS or in Azure Storage.
Okay, so I think that's a good point, because as we think about, especially when you're talking to the people like a DBA or a developer, things like that, you would say, hey, you know, there's the big term is like big data. We have to think in terms of several scenarios, and you point out a good one. Storage is cheap. We don't have to delete historical data anymore, so we could store that in the cloud very cheaply. But more, and I think just as importantly, there's the ability to say, hey, it's not just relational anymore. I've got data that's that fits into the NoSQL category, like you say, clickstream data, sensor data, device data, you know, web logs, things like that that I need to deal with. So as a DBA or someone that's working with this data, how can I use a single tool or technology to start process and work with this data, right?
Absolutely. And if you think about the challenge that DBAs, the database administrators, are facing today, there's this bunch of semi-structured or unstructured data that is landing in huge data volumes in systems like Hadoop. And the skill sets they have today is the SQL Server skill set. And they want to know how they can use their existing SQL Server skill set to gain insights out of this data without having to learn a new paradigm, say MapReduce.
Right.
And also, how can they continue using the same tools, same business intelligence or analytic tools to gain insights out of this data sitting in different data stores?
Yep, I'm a SQL guy, I know SQL Server, I don't want to have to learn a whole new set of technologies and tools to start analyzing and getting, you know, and looking at working with this data, right? So
exactly.
It'd be awesome if I could, hey, here's SQL Server Management Studio or SQL tools to be able to process and look at this data.
Absolutely. Right? Yep.
Cool. So what is the ability for Polybase now within SQL Server? How does that work? What's the ability? By introducing Polybase into SQL Server Management Studio or SQL Server, what does that give them the ability to do now?
So Scott, let me just show you very quickly what Polybase actually does here. It provides a T-SQL compatible way of actually accessing your data residing in Hadoop or in your relational database management system, which is SQL Server.
Mm-hmm.
So just to give you a quick view of how it works in SQL Server, users can actually submit queries written in Transact SQL, which is Microsoft SQL language,
yep,
to SQL Server. And they can access data residing in Hadoop or in Azure Blob Storage.
Cool.
combine it with data residing in their SQL Server instance and get results back.
Right.
So essentially they can analyze data residing in these heterogeneous data stores simply using their T-SQL skills.
So am I writing, when you say T-SQL, because I can open up Hadoop and write, you know, HiveQL, right? So when I open up SQL Server Management Suite and write, am I writing what, you know, T-SQL, or would I be writing, you know, HiveQL to
you
access it?
You are writing T-SQL.
Okay.
So that's a very interesting question. You are writing T-SQL. You don't need to learn HiveQL to query data in Hadoop.
So does the translation for me behind the, you know, under the covers?
Absolutely. So that is the, and we're not integrating with HiveQL. Just to clarify, how it works is when you write a SQL query, we can go directly read data out of HDFS, the storage layer of Hadoop. One of the more advanced capabilities, which I can talk about a little later, is we can actually spin up map jobs on the Hadoop side.
Wow.
To also leverage the compute resources of Hadoop. So just to give you a very quick overview of this technology and the capabilities it introduces, I'll just move on to the next slide here.
Okay.
So it does allow ad hoc queries on Hadoop data. So as I said, you write a SQL query and it will actually, the query can refer to your data sitting inside the SQL server, or it can actually point to data sitting in Hadoop, basically, and the storage layer of Hadoop, which is HDFS.
Okay.
That's the question you were asking, and it's only through it's through a SQL query. You don't have to learn HiveQL.
Right. Okay. So I can write T-SQL and it takes care of everything for me, right?
Yep.
And so I can do the same thing. I like some of these bullet points here because it says, you know, I can import data from Hadoop for Azure Storage back into SQL Server, so I can import and export data back and forth, it seems, you know, from SQL Server and Hadoop and things like that, right?
Absolutely.
Okay. And what's this seamless BI integration? How does that play into this picture?
Yeah, so let me cover these points for you briefly,
Sure.
Scott. So first of all, we wanted to enable the scenario where you can just quickly write a query and get a high-performing query, basically interact with the Hadoop system as though the data was just residing in SQL Server.
Okay.
And to enable this ad hoc scenario where you can actually gain insights of the data really quickly, you can actually join data sitting in SQL Server with data sitting in Hadoop and produce results by combining those two data sets.
Okay.
So this is the primary scenario that Polybase enables, one of the most valuable scenarios. Beyond this scenario, we also allow you to actually import the data sitting in Hadoop or Azure Storage into SQL Server for persistent storage. So if you know that you'll be querying that data a lot, or if you have a scenario where you want to use Hadoop as simply as an ETL tool, basically to clean your data, and once you clean it, you want to actually land it in a relational system, you can do that through Polybase. And that is through an insert into select command that we all know and are familiar with in
right.
SQL Server.
Wow, okay, that's cool.
Yep, and then moving on to the next one, which is export data from SQL Server to Hadoop. We've seen this scenario is pretty popular with our customers, where earlier they had to do capacity planning, they had to delete the data that was not being queried a lot. But in this world of big data, you actually want to preserve all the data and you want to gain insights out of all of your data. So this particular value proposition is enabled through this export scenario, where you can actually export the data that you're not querying to a cold store like Hadoop or Azure Storage, but that data is still queryable via Polybase.
Okay. Is it using, just out of curiosity, because I know you can import and export data back and forth between SQL and Hadoop using Scoop. Is it doing that behind the scenes, or is it there some other technology it's using for that?
It is not using Scoop behind
okay.
the scenes. So just to briefly share with you how the tangibles of this technology, there's three T-SQL constructs that we introduced with Polybase.
Okay.
And those are called external data source, external file format, and external tables. And essentially, these provide a way for the user to tell SQL Server, hey, this is where my external data resides, and this is the shape of that data. And so this it builds metadata inside SQL Server that points to data sitting in an external data source, okay, like Hadoop or Azure Storage.
Okay.
So, and then we are introducing two new services, the Polybase Engine Service and the Polybase Data Movement Service, to enable this technology. And we've actually built an HDFS bridge inside our data movement service that can read and write data directly from HDFS.
Okay.
The answer in short is that we're not using Scoop,
gotcha,
but
okay,
we're introducing our own components.
Own components and own constructs. Okay. Okay, that's good to know. All right, and so what about going back to the seamless BI integration?
Absolutely. So again, as I was talking about the challenges that some of our customers face, that they want to use their existing tools, their business intelligence tools, analytics tools, to gain insights out of all of their data. So in that sense, since we introduced T-SQL constructs to SQL Server called external tables, external tables are first-class citizens in SQL Server. So whenever you use a BI tool like Excel or Tableau or Power BI, all your regular SQL Server tables show up in those tools. Similarly, external tables will also show up in those tools. And so you can actually analyze the Hadoop data just as though it was a data residing in SQL Server. So that's the seamless BI integration.
Oh, that's awesome. That's going to be very useful. I can see that being people being very excited about that one.
Yep.
Right. They're excited about all of this, but that one's going to be particular to the BI folks, right?
Yes.
So, okay. And then lastly, this push down computation to Hadoop. What is that, and what do we mean here?
Yep. There's a really interesting point here. As I was talking about, we want to enable ad hoc queries. You write a query, it returns results really fast out of Hadoop. And to do that, if you think about two ways to actually execute a query, one way would be, hey, I tell SQL Server, this is where my data resides in Hadoop using my external table construct. And then I write a query, say select star or select top one from star from external table.
Mm-hmm.
You just want one record from your Hadoop data set. One way to implement that would be I can import all of the data from Hadoop into SQL Server temporarily, process the query, and then generate the result. And what we see with that is, of course, that's slow because you have to import all of the data over the wire. And so whenever you have a lot of data movement, the query becomes slow. So this was one of the major design pillars for Polybase, that, hey, we want to use the computational power of Hadoop, and we want to push the computation down to the Hadoop system and perhaps get the result directly from Hadoop, or get at least a subset of data and not the whole data set back.
Yeah.
And so that is the part where I was talking about, that SQL Server introduces the Polybase Engine service. And we have a query optimizer that is able to make a very cost-effective decision on whether the computation should happen on the Hadoop side or the SQL Server side, based on the knowledge about the data sets through statistics. It can make a very cost-effective decision, and it can actually spin up map jobs on the Hadoop side to compute the result partially or completely, and then only return that result set to SQL
okay.
Server.
So, and this is all great information, but as I'm listening to you, and I think others are going to be asking the same question, is this all, you know, like seamless BI integration? Is all of this seamless? I mean, I don't know, or I don't need to know how to write a map or map reduce job. Is all this seamless behind the scenes for me? Because if I'm a Hadoop guy, I'm used to writing, you know, map reduce or, you know, writing HiveQL, things like that, right? So how much is abstracted from me? Am I just writing T-SQL and everything's done for me?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that is the value proposition, right, Scott? You don't have to be a Hadoop guy. You have to be a SQL Server database administrator, and you can still leverage the Hadoop technology. Yeah. You don't need to know or learn about MapReduce. You can simply use your SQL Server skills and still gain insights out of this data store.
Right, and I think that's powerful. I think that's the point we need to highlight here is that, you know, it's just, if I'm a DBA and I don't know big data technology, I don't know Hadoop or HD Insight or, you know, how to write MapReduce jobs, I'm just writing T-SQL and I can still get access to this information. I think that's powerful because it gives us the ability to work with this, you know, non-relational data, but still accomplish the tasks that I need to do, right? So, which is awesome because it's abstracted, you know, this layer is abstracted from me. I think that's
absolutely powerful. Yep, and one, just to add to that, when you said that, is it actually seamless? It actually definitely is. It's when I talk about, hey, the MapReduce jobs being pushed, with the compute pushed down and spinning up of map jobs, all that is very, it's transparent to the user. The user doesn't know whether it was a map job or not unless they actually see the query plan.
Right.
They will just see the results, and they would see the results come back faster because under the covers, SQL Server is making good decisions for the customer. Right. Well, and so it is actually seamless and transparent to the user.
And that's great. But let's say I'm a DBA and I want to know what's going on behind the scenes. You sort of teased it up right there. I can go look at the query plan. And I can I, if I want to, can I see what it's doing behind the scenes a little bit? Right?
Yes, you can see the query plan. And also you can see we're introducing new data management views, basically the DMVs that will help you monitor the queries that you're running on your external data. And you can actually see step by step what queries are being run and then when we're pushing compute down to Hadoop.
Okay.
So you can actually dive into those details.
Okay. That's great, because someone's going to want to know, just out of curiosity, right? The guys that like to get their fingers dirty, right? They're going to want to know, hey, how do I, you know, what's actually going on under the covers, behind the scenes? I want to know, right? They may not be able to do anything about it or do anything with it, right? But at least they can see, okay, here's what's going on, just for their edification, right?
Absolutely. So
that's good to know. All right, what else you got for us?
So just wanted to highlight these points, Scott, and that you were also reiterating. Anyone with a SQL Server background doesn't need to learn these new skills of MapReduce, doesn't need to know how to administrate a Hadoop cluster, and they can still gain insights out of this new age big data data store, Hadoop, using this technology called Polybase. And you can import data into SQL Server, you can export data out of SQL Server with this technology. And I think it'll really help those customers.
And I'd love to have you back to talk more about, you know, deep dive into some of this technology. You talked a lot of the, you know, it'd be awesome to look at some of the DMVs, but you talked earlier about some of the data movement components. I can't remember what you called those, server...
The data movement service.
Yeah, data movement service, and there was another service, right? I'd love to.
Engine. Yeah,
yes. Yeah, I'd love to get get a look at those, and you know, so have you back and discuss those a little more in more detail, as far as maybe some of the query language and things like that, right? Because the more people can understand how these work, I think it'll be beneficial.
Absolutely.
So can we do a very quick demo? Just to tease us a little bit, if that's all right.
Sure, definitely. So let me show you what I was talking about in terms of the SQL Server constructs that we've introduced. So right here, if you can see my screen, I have an SSMS instance open, and I'm connected to my SQL Server instance, which is running on SQL Server 2016 CTP2 bits.
Okay.
And let me just... show you what we've introduced here. So when you look at your database under your SQL Server, let's take a look at PolyBSDB that I created for the purpose of this demo. You will see under that database a new node called External Resources.
Okay.
And if you let me just zoom in so you can actually see that right here. And what this does is, as I was mentioning, we've introduced two constructs, data sources and file formats. And so you're able to see those under this external resources node. Also, as I said, the third construct was external tables, and those show up under your tables node. So I'll just zoom in on that as well so you can see that.
Okay.
So to go back, I can quickly show you how to use these new constructs to point to your Hadoop system.
Okay.
So I have a Hadoop cluster on premises. It's running Hortonworks HTTP 2.2 bits. And I want to tell SQL Server that I want to first configure SQL Server to be able to connect to that server. And so that we have a step where you actually configure your Hadoop connectivity using a stored procedure. So I'll just run that, and I can see that, hey, my value for this Hadoop connectivity is configured to 5, which is the value for HTTP 2.2. So I've already done this. If you haven't, you can follow the steps on MSDN to make sure you can have the right setting to connect to Hadoop.
Okay.
And now that we set the Hadoop connectivity parameter, we know that on the SQL Server side, we will load the correct jars to be able to connect to this cluster. Now what we need to do is tell SQL Server, where is this Hadoop cluster that I'm trying to connect to? So that's what you will do with this next statement called create external data source. So I'll go ahead and run this statement, and you should see that the command succeeded successfully. And if I refresh, it will show me that the Hadoop cluster is created. So also you can check your external data sources under these new catalog views called external sys.external data sources. You can see the location of your Hadoop cluster and then the resource manager location.
Okay.
So just to give you a tidbit of detail here, the location actually is the IP address and the port that we connect to for the Hadoop cluster. The resource manager location is the location we push down the computation to. So as I said previously, we have two ways of executing a query, where one, we can directly talk to HDFS and import all the data.
Right.
The second way is we can also spin up a map job on the Hadoop side to leverage the compute power of Hadoop.
Okay.
And so if you want to do that, you should specify a resource manager location.
Okay.
So now that we told SQL Server, hey, this is where my Hadoop cluster is. Now I want to tell SQL Server that this is the shape of my semi-structured data on the Hadoop side. So my semi-structured data, I know, is in a text file with a pipe delimiter. So I'll actually run this command called create external file format. And you'll see that the command succeeded. And I can refresh my file formats in my Object Explorer and see that the text file format was created.
Okay.
Again, I can look at the catalog view, sys.external file formats, to actually see the file format listed and all the details.
Right, cool.
Of course, there's many more options that you can specify, but I won't dive into those details. You can keep
yep,
that for
that's
our next session.
That's another show. We'll have you back for that show as well.
Absolutely, yeah. And as the final step to actually configure this, you will create an external table, and this will tell SQL Server what are the columns in your table. And the first part of this statement is like any other regular table. You specify the columns, you specify the data types, you specify if it's nullable or not. And then we have some additional attributes for external tables, which is, what is the data source, which means what Hadoop cluster is this data residing on? What is the shape of the data, which is the file format? And then the location actually tells you the path on the Hadoop cluster.
Okay.
And then there's optional parameters for rejecting dirty records. And we can dive into that in our next session.
Yep, okay.
But let me go ahead and execute that. And we see that the command succeeded. And I can actually see this external table under the existing catalog view sys.tables right here. And I can also specifically see only the external tables under this new catalog view sys.external tables.
So is there a new sys.tables type that specifically says it's an external table?
That's a very good point, Scott. Let me show you that we have introduced a column under sys.tables that says is external. And if the table is external, it will say one.
Okay. Well, good to know. Okay.
Yep. So now that we've done this, I'll just skip over and ahead to basically give you a scenario that we're trying to that this demo actually showcases. Think about an insurance company who has who gives out car insurance, and they have customers who've installed devices in their cars to track the speed at which they're driving. So they're collecting all that information from millions of cars worldwide into, and all of that sensor data is landing in Hadoop. And then their data about their customers is stored, of course, in a relational system, say SQL, like SQL Server, and they want to understand what the driving behavior is for these customers. And they want to drive their insurance policies based on the driving behaviors of their customers. So if someone is driving rash, they want to bump up the insurance rates. If someone's driving too rash, they maybe want to cancel their policy.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So that is the scenario. So far, I have created an external table that points to sensor data sitting in Hadoop.
Okay.
And I already have a customer insurance table on my SQL Server instance. So now I want to run a query that actually joins the sensor data from Hadoop with the relational data about my customers residing in SQL Server. And I want to see who are the customers, what are the names of the customers who are driving above 35 miles an hour. So I'll run this query and you'll see that it returns results with names of the customers from SQL Server and then the speed at which they were driving from Hadoop. So it's able to join a relational SQL Server table with an external table mm-hmm. that points to data residing in Hadoop.
This is fantastic. Yep.
Yep.
Okay.
And as a final thing that I want to show in this demo, the kind of insights you can gain out of this data is if you want to profile who are the rash drivers among our customer base, I basically want to see what's the income and the gender of the customers who are driving faster than 35 miles an hour. I can pretty much run this query that joins the external table and the local table. And I can see that if I scroll down through the results, I see a lot of males. So I see that a lot of my rash drivers are actually males and not females. And that gives me some insight. So basically, the ability to combine data in SQL Server with data in Hadoop can enable you to gain such insights.
Yeah, and I think the key here is we've joined a table, but if you know that data from the Hadoop table might be coming from a text file or you know sensor data or something like that. Let's say a NoSQL type of data store, right? Mm-hmm. A source. But the ability to just very easily in SQL Server Management Studio here in SQL, just join these two tables very easily, I think that's fantastic. That's very awesome.
Yeah, right. And to add to that, so far Polybase supports delimited text files, RC files, and ORC file formats. And we are looking to support additional file formats as well, but that's the supported file formats.
Yep. Okay, yep. Good. So I think this is a fantastic introduction into Polybase. Especially from a demo perspective, it kind of gives us a nice teaser into, look, here's how easy it is to use. It validates everything we talked about at the very beginning, right? Here's very easy to use. We don't need to learn a whole new set of technologies. And within just a couple of minutes, you showed us that really it's this easy. We just need to set up our data sources and our file formats, create a table, and almost and they're ready to go. You know, that easy.
Absolutely.
Right. All right, so let's wrap it up there because we're almost out of time. So Haj, thank you so much for coming. We definitely want to have you back to talk about some of these other, like these services we talked about, maybe go into more detail about, you know, the language constructs here. There's plenty to talk about because I think people are going to get very excited about what they're seeing here today. So thank you so much for coming. Thank you for being on the show. Everybody, thank you for watching, and we will see you next time.